How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Sincerity. Probably one of the most important character qualities that anyone could have. So important is it that some people imitate it. It's like one guy said, sincerity is the key to success. And the sooner you learn to fake it, the sooner you'll make it. And what we're facing today is not just insincerity, but fake. Pretentious, critical. I guess if I were asked, what is the single greatest reason why people don't come to Christ in America, I would probably say it's because of the hypocrisy in the lives of those who claim to follow the Lord. The world is looking for authenticity. And authenticity translates into sincerity. So we must learn to follow the Lord with sincerity, doing what is right, without ulterior motives. It is possible to do right for the wrong reasons. I think it was J.B. Phillips who wrote the book. J.B. Phillips was the author of the Phillips translation of the New Testament, a great translation, by the way. Moves simply yet dramatically in its unfolding of biblical truth. He wrote the book called The Ring of Truth. Ring of Truth. Sort of follows the analogy of an expensive bone china. Or a crystal cup chalice. One of the ways you can tell how authentic a crystal is by just pinging the edge of the cup and see if it has the ring to it. When people meet us, talk to us, engage us, most important, possession that we have is not the philosophical answers. but the ring of truth, the ring of authenticity. Without faking it. And so that's why I want to spend a few moments this morning. And I want to show you a couple of surprising things to me that I found in Scripture. Surprising benefits of sincerity. But before that, we want to discover what the Scripture teaches as the necessary scope of sincerity. So in your notes, what must we be sincere about? What is the scope of sincerity? So let's learn. The first one is in all behaviors. Take a look at the scripture with me. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience. With a clear conscience, we can say this, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our behavior in the world. Our conversation is a word that in the Bible doesn't refer simply to the verbal communication, but our converse in life, our whole behavior patterns. So, we begin here by discovering from Scripture that sincerity must be the core. Notice that simplicity and godly sincerity are such a core to our testimony and to affect our behavior. The story is told, and without me going into a lot of details, of Alexander the Great, the great conqueror who was in one of his own military camps. And everybody was bedded down for the night, except Alexander the Great went for a little stroll, and he went out to the edge of the camp, and he found one of the sentries snoozing instead of being wide alert. The sentry didn't know who he was, but Alexander woke him up, said, "Sir, who are you? Who do you serve?" And the young man snapped to attention, saluted, and said, "Sir, I belong to the army of Alexander the Great." And Alexander the Great said, "Young man, you either change your conduct or change your name." Our behavior must be that which is becoming to the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a broad stroke here. This behavior thing, we have to be sincere in all our behaviors because what the world needs to see is an authentic representation of Jesus. A representative means to represent. And so all our behaviors. In our service to the Lord. In fact, we've heard much today about service, and we applaud those of you. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. It's not a game. It's not a pretension. Our service to the Lord must be sincere. A.W. Tozer suggests that there are two kinds of the will of God. People want the will of God. One is passive and one is active. The passive one is the one we sang about, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way," where we're waiting for God to do something in us. It's passive. And he said, what's missing in the day, however, is people who actively pursue the will of God. What does God want me to do? And get busy doing it. Serving the Lord with sincerity. It is not enough to have some sentimental wish about being used of God. It must not just be some moment with a half-raised hand and a smooth moving song where we say, I want to do your will, O God. But sincerity means that we are in hot pursuit of doing exactly what it is that the Lord, how does the Lord want you to serve? Then we must have sincerity in our worship. The hour cometh and now is when they which worship God must worship Him in spirit, or shall worship Him in spirit in truth. For the Father is seeking such sincere worshipers to worship Him. For God is a spirit, and they which worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Sincerity in worship. It is possible to participate in a display of worship which catalyst is not out of authentic affection and love for the Lord. In fact, it's very easy in these days of synthetic musical instruments, mood-creating devices, to stimulate people to do what is not even in their heart to do. And the Lord Jesus says, worship. By the way, what is worship? Worship is the expression of relationship between the worshiper and the worshiped. It's the expression of a real relationship between the worshiper worship. And it must be sincere. Otherwise, it can't be called worship. And then, love must be sincere. Now, it's possible to fake anything, especially sincerity. The flowers I put on the front page, the reason why I did put flowers as the illustration of the message of the day. You know it's possible to give a young lady flowers and be insincere. Have a motive, an ulterior motive. Looks like a nice act on the outside, but the motive could be some covert, hidden agenda, some iniquity. Some evil disguise. We have become better at showing love than we have at loving. We know some of the mechanics, and it is possible to do the mechanic things of showing love without ever loving. And of all the things that God expects sincerity in, it is in love. Look at this scripture. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the frowardness of others. You brought this subject up. And I'm speaking this way to prove the sincerity of your love. Now, so wherefore show to them and before the churches the proof of your love. Our love should be provable. Love that is sincere is provable. The risk is that when we come to church, for whatever reason, we should sing a song like, I love you with the love of the Lord, because I love you, and we can go around and shake hands at the same time. I guess I don't know if I'm paranoid about this, but I get nervous about leading people into demonstrating something that may not be authentic. My hope, like when we sing a song like that, I love you with the love of the Lord, is that when you walk up to someone and you shake their hand and you're singing that song, or you say to them, love you, that it's not just more religious pretension. That there really exists in our hearts this wonderful love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Love you. It's more than sentimentality. It's more than poetic pronouncement. It must mean, I am willing to choose whatever is best for you without personal profit as my motive. What are your needs? Where are you? How can I help? I love you must be sincere. Now, of all of the human relationships in which there is much artificiality and lack of sincerity, it is boy-girl relationships, man-woman relationships. Most young ladies get moved down the garden path, so to speak, by young men who have learned to fake sincerity. Young girls, it's the worst enemy. It lurks in the hearts of unconverted men. It lurks in the hearts of those who call themselves brothers, but whose lives are not in order. Their life doesn't line up to their profession. That's why we learned just a couple of weeks ago that if any brother does not walk, remove thyself from any brother that does not, that walks disorderly, rather, that walks disorder. Remove yourself. Having the Christian branding, having the image, having Jesus printed on your jeans or glibly coming off your lips, has been used as a con repeatedly. Sincerity means if this young man professes to be a Christian, that he doesn't pressure you to do something that Christ is against. He doesn't pressure you to not do something that Christ is in favor of. Because if he does, at best, you must call it treason. At worst, it is the evidence of insincerity. We must be sincere in our love. And I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, and that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. Sincerity in love is the cause of not offending. Love does not offend. And if it happens to, it's quick to repent. But we approve all things that are excellent, and that we might be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. Sincerity in love. Let love be without. Now, this word dissimulation means without a hidden motive, without trickery. Now, I don't want to spend much time on this, but because I think I've said just about everything. I'm trying to today just be sort of point blank about these things. But more trickery goes on in love than probably any other area of life. In fact, there has been so much trickery in things of romance and called love that the world doesn't even know what love is anymore. It has been artificial for so long, we've lost track of the authentic. And if there is something that brings the ring of truth to the follower of the Lord, it is having genuine love. For Jesus put it this way, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you have love one for another. So, there must be sincerity in love. There must be love in the there must be sincerity in the appreciation of Scripture. Just like newborn babies are after milk, the same way, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Sincerity about the Word of God, watch it now, watch, causes growth. Insincerity about the Bible causes a lack of spiritual growth. Well, what do we mean when we talk about sincerity about the Word? What does it mean to handle the Word of God, to have a sincere approach to the Word of God? It means you do more than carry it. It means you do more than set it on your desk, dresser at home. It means, like, if you're sincere about the Bible, there are three things you do. You read it, you study it, and you obey it. Sincerity will read it. If you're sincere in your approach, you can hardly wait to get to here if you're sincere. Fake sincerity in Christian circles gives us a sentimental admiration for the Scriptures, but we don't do stuff with it. But to the sincere. Now watch this. When we're sincere about this book, never a day goes by, probably rarely an hour, in some of our lives, not 5 minutes goes by, without a mental or spiritual reference to something in this book. Sincerity. Without sincerity about this book, you don't grow. You just repeat your same spiritual history over and over and over again. But you desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. And I know there's a lot of pages in this book, 1900 or something, 1400. And I'm not suggesting that you have to get all this in there at one time, because that's not how you get it. But the sincere approach to the Bible is this one. Remember this scripture. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. You see, you grow incrementally. Now, what the doc tells me is going on in my knee right now is that the old cells, the bad ones, the damaged ones, are being replaced by the new cells. That's a process. Now, if I had a miracle and not a healing, and I'm glad that the Lord in his healings sped it up. So maybe I got a half and half here, a half a miracle and half a healing. I'm not sure. But a miracle would be as if it didn't require healing and was immediately jumped into place. Now, very seldom do people all of a sudden get the 1,473 pages of the Bible in their brain all at one time. It has happened. But it happens by this process. It is the process of accumulation. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, a precept on top of a precept, little by little, here, there, a little. Accumulation. Sincerity means we keep the accumulation process going all the time. So we have to be sincere about the scriptures. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You know the scripture, rightly dividing the word of truth. I actually put in there because I was going to make commentary about this in terms of last week, but I'll do that another time. Then there must be sincerity about explaining to someone else the Bible in teaching or preaching. If there is anything that requires sincerity in the Christian ministry, it is in teaching and preaching. Now, I want you to notice what's in these scriptures this morning. Paul said, we are not as many, ready now? Many which corrupt the word of God. Now watch here now. The opposite of those who corrupt the word of God is those who are sincere. Insincerity about the word of God corrupts the word. Using the word of God for an ulterior motive other than that which is purely, simply designed is to corrupt the word of God. So sincerity about the word of God is required if you're going to tell somebody about the word of God. It is more important to have sincerity than skill. It is more important to have sincerity than style. It is more important to have sincerity than oratorical gimmicks. Now, I happen to believe that. Well, listen to the scripture that proves it. What knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? When someone is communicating a thing about something of the word of God, sincerity in the communicator will be caught in the heart of the communicated to, the one being communicated to. That is, sincerity is a condition of the spirit so that when you're teaching the word of God to somebody, they catch the ring of truth. Which is just as important as whatever the communication is. The biggest danger in the ministry is to fake sincerity about this book. It will damage the hearers. Because when you add insincerity to the word of God, you corrupt the word of God. I heard somebody say, it was an evangelist doing some smart talk. Bless God. All I care about is what's in the glass. I don't care what the cup is like. It's the water I want. Implying that the vessel doesn't matter. Wrong. The vessel matters. Because if the vessel is contaminated, the water will be contaminated. That's why the scriptures talk about being vessels fit for the master's use. When we teach the word of God, we don't use tricks, gimmicks. We must be sincere. Well, let's look at a couple more verses about this, because this was kind of... Our acceptation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile, nor in guile. None of that stuff was mixed in. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which tries the heart. I have to tell you, and shamefully, I tell you this. I spent years, when I first started out in the ministry, trying to please men. Well, if you came to hear me preach, you'd hear at least 10 minutes of a stand-up comedy act first. Because I thought that's what would make people listen to me. And I would go and did all kinds of stuff. Some of the antics I went through are, in these days, I look back with shame. No mixture. And the way to keep the mixture out is to not speak in order to please men, but to please God. For neither at any time did we use flattering words. And we didn't use a cover-up for covetousness. Whoa, there's a sermon behind that one. We live in days when the ministry is being used for financial gain. A cloak. Imagine cloaking one's covetousness for power or position or money. Imagine cloaking that covetousness with the word of God. And neither of men sought we glory. There's another motive that much teaching and preaching has done. Well, now, I want to go to this text. This next text that's in your notes is the text that's used most frequently to justify insincerity in preaching. So let's take a look at it first, and I'll contextualize it for you so you understand it does not mean what people do spin when they spin this verse. Now here's Paul, who was about to be imprisoned for preaching, and there was big legal and political controversy over Paul's preaching. That's the context. And Paul, in this context, is saying, some preach Christ even of envy, and some out of strife, and some out of goodwill. Social results. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely. And they think because they're insincere that they're going to add affliction to my jail term, my bonds. So there was other kinds of preaching going along. Now, granted, now watch this, because the verses we saw before this, it was Paul saying, I'm never going to do that. I will always do it sincerely. I will never use the word of God deceitfully. But watch what he says here. And then there's some who preach it out of love, knowing that I am set to defend the gospel. So what should I do in this situation, he says? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein I do rejoice, and I will rejoice. He was saying, the message is getting out. And in the next verse, let me tell you what the next verse is. In the next verse, he says, and this will lead to my salvation. Now, he was not talking about his eternal salvation. He was talking about saved from the illegalization of his preaching. And he says, as everybody else is preaching and they're getting away with it, this is going to save me as well. And I'm glad that they're participating in this. This is not an endorsement of insincere preaching. In fact, let's go to this. In all things, show yourself as a pattern of works. Now watch this. In doctrine, and that's what teaching and preaching is about, communicating truth about God, God's word. Watch the things that need to be involved in teaching and preaching. No corruption. You must show gravity and sincerity and sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is contrary of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you. Can't say that you were insincere. Showing when you preach and you teach sincerity. And then we're to be sincere in keeping whatever feast, spiritual feast, whether it be Passover, the communion, as we celebrate it here, or water baptism. And here it's referring to Passover. Purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. Get the old poison out of there altogether so you have a new lump and have no poison in it. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, the poison that we had, neither with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but watch this now, with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. When we approached water baptism, it must be with sincerity and truth. When we have communion and celebrate the Lord's table, the bread and the cup, is to be with sincerity and truth. So these are an outline of the scope of sincerity. Now let me close with two things. First of all, a couple of the extra benefits of being sincere. Number one, and this may shock you, but the sincere people get extra and more grace from God. Sincerity is a source of grace. Now, you know that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourself, therefore, before the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you. So we know that humility brings more grace. But look at this. Paul makes this proclamation that grace is to be with them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. The distinction here is sincere versus insincere. Sincere love for Jesus. You see, sincere love for Jesus requires no external prodding, provoking, stimuli. We just love him. And when any opportunity comes by to explain or demonstrate or show that, we're quick to do it because we love Christ sincerely. What the truth is, I want you to get out of this, is this, dearly beloved, that in sincerity, there is a response from God to the sincere that doesn't come to the insincere. It is sincerity before God in our prayers that brings God into the situation. When we get sincere about calling upon God, sincere about the condition of our nation, sincere about our earnest invocation of God. There'll be extra grace. Sincerity brings the grace of God. I hope Travis doesn't mind me using him as an illustration, but I've never known a sincere Tuesday sit in my office. This young man came to the Lord so sincerely. Now, I didn't bring in a backup band, and I didn't have a drum roll in the background, and I didn't ask for any shenanigans to go on. See, what counts when you come to Christ is that you're sincere. And when he came to Christ, he came sincerely. And I'll tell you something. When somebody does something before God with sincerity, God is able and willing to do in that person what God otherwise would not do. Can you imagine God blessing the insincere prayer? Can you imagine God blessing the prayer of someone whose motive is ulterior? I suggest to you that if there is a lack of the supernatural, there is probably a lack of sincerity. Because God brings grace to those that are sincere. Hallelujah. Now, one more exciting benefit of being sincere. It is the basis of your joy. Look at this. Our rejoicing is this, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, we have our conversation in the Lord. Now, a couple of sentences about this, and then we'll get to the conclusion. When everything seems like it's against you, when people mistrust you, when you are accused, if you know that you are sincere before God, then nothing else matters. Glory to God. When it comes down to it, the most important thing about my relationship with God is that it is authentic and sincere. And if I know that, it puts a smile on your face that cannot be wiped out by anybody or anything. Say like Job, I know that my Redeemer lives. It's the exclamation mark that you deserve. Sincerity. Basis for rejoicing. Well, what is the proof of sincerity? How do you know when a person is, how do you know if you are sincere? And I want to, this is really kind of simple, but I want you to see it. Most people know whether they're sincere or not if they would take time to be honest with themselves. It is possible to be so used to faking sincerity that you fake yourself. Let me tell you this. The biggest fool in the world is the fool that fools himself. The biggest deceiver in the world is the deceiver that deceives himself. So it is possible to fake sincerity for so long that, but there's a proof. There are three things I want you to see. Number one, Sincerity will always persevere, will always follow through. I'm going to show you a couple of verses, then get to my finale here. Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Sincere people keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep following the Lord, keep after the Lord. Never quit. Look at another verse. We are marked partakers of Christ. If, remember that grace part? If we hold from the beginning our confidence, steadfast to the end, persevering. An insincere person will start and stop. A sincere person before the Lord will keep on following. I can't tell you how important it is to be sincere before the Lord. It is possible to fake sincerity before the Lord because you're looking for people's approval, your parents' approval, or you think it's not a bad way to go for the time being. But all those undercurrent motives can bring the whole house down. Like they said in the scripture, they went out from us because they were not of us. See, now watch this. Let me get to this scripture. If you continue in my word, then, key word, are you my disciples indeed. Now, let me show you where the sincerity is. It's in this word, indeed. You're the real thing. What is the proof that we are indeed the real thing? It is that we continue in His word. It is the proof of sincerity, continuance. Now, this brings to some of your minds this morning the age-old controversy about can you get saved and lose it? You know that stuff, that Arminian versus Calvin stuff. And I've told people before, I don't care whether you're Calvinist or Arminius. I don't think one's got any edge over the other. In fact, I verbalize it like this. The Arminius knows he's saved, but he's afraid he might lose it. The Calvinist knows he can't lose it, but he's afraid he hasn't got it. You take a choice. You're not. Neither one's in a great state. The scriptures are so practical on this issue, they bypass the doctrinal statement and just let you know that if you don't continue, you weren't ever in. The proof of authenticity, the proof of sincerity, is that we continue. Now, the second proof comes out of this one. Because a sincere person who continues in the Word, now watch this, will come to know the truth. They are not static. They are ever growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and in His Word. If you continue in my Word, you're my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth. So truth gets accumulated to the sincere. And thirdly, because of that, and these three kind of flow together, the truth that you got because you continued in the Word, which was the proof of sincerity, will make you free. Will make you free. I suggest to you this morning that the greatest need that we have, that I have, is to stay sincere before God. Don't try to fake it. Because sincerity will bring grace that you otherwise would not get. Help in time of trouble. I mean, God involvement in your life. Following the Lord with sincerity. Well, there's another benefit. And that other benefit comes on Judgment Day. When he says, hey, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Sincerity is so important. It's what will affect eternity. Sincerity is necessary. It's not enough. But it's a good start. Not good, good. Not people who are sincerely wrong are still wrong. So we need sincerity. We need truth. But the sincere seeker keeps after. You continue in my word. You're my disciple indeed. And you know the truth. And the truth will make you free. And the same truth that makes you free will get you from this life into a glorious eternity forever with the Lord. Sincerity. Don't miss on it. And don't be fooled. And don't be trapped by the literal thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of insincere Christians. Standard for what you and I are going to continue being is not what other Christians are or are not. It's what God tells us in His Word.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.